It's Erev Rosh Hashanah, and I'm sure we're all feeling the need for a some hisoros for Rosh Hashanah. So I thought that it would be appropriate to talk about some of the hidden features of the Tefillas Yom Menorah. It's actually interesting because nothing happens without it by chance. And I know that after this share, for a few minutes you're going through this Anis Filosi, of which so far you've done three items. One is you've got to have a quieting of the mind. I mean, it's a very interesting idea not to listen to the radio. You've got to then take time to prepare and arrange things. And then the third thing was one's got to feel the need in the davening. Well, we certainly feel the need during Rosh Hashanah. But the interesting thing is I've been given today the question of understanding the meaning of tefillah. So we're going to come back to that at the end, and the simple idea of understanding the meaning of tefillah. But what I'm going to talk about now is not just the meaning of tefillah, but you've got to realize that behind the meaning there's depth which is unfathomable by the human mind. Now, whether the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, when they did it, had definitely had this particular Ramazim in mind, or whether in fact they were just given the Ruach HaKodesh that they came out, one will never know. It's very similar to the thing I heard just this year, which was taken from the computer, that there is only one single pasuk in the whole of Tanakh which comes to the same gematria as the word Rosh Hashanah. If you calculate the gematria of Rosh Hashanah, you would expect, well, it'll be a number of places, the psukim, but there's only one single pasuk in the whole of Tanakh. That is chapter Kufyud Tes Pasuk Tzadik Aleph. We actually mentioned it in Slichus this morning. Lemishpotecho omdu hayom ki akol avodecho. I'm not sure that everybody will be able to immediately the point for the place in Slichus, but you look carefully through the Slichus, you will find that the most of that pasuk is in fact there. And it's the most opposite pasuk in the whole Tanakh to Rosh Hashanah. And that is the same gematria. Now, whether David HaMelech, when he wrote it, knew that, it's not for me to say. He may well have done so. But even if he didn't know it, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been megala that today through the computers is an indication that the Torah is nitzchius, and that there are, every door has to have its own hisoros for emunah, and sometimes it comes in that shape or form. Now, it's the same with davening. I'm not yet coming to the Rosh Hashanah than the Yom Nerom, which is even more meduyik, but I'm just give you one or two little ideas from davening itself. Obviously, we all know the structure of davening, which follows the structure of the korbanos, is based on the number four, the different chalakim. That's why it's very important, if possible, to keep to the seder and not to jump things around. Oh, I'll make it up later. If you do that, it's called b'mahape chatsi noiras. It's quite important, if possible, to daven k'seder of the tefillah in the normal order. But obviously, the high point is the kriyas shema and the shemoneh esrei, and they're very heavily interconnected. In the Kriyas Shema, if you were to take the words, you know, together with Hashem Elokecha Memes, we get 248. I've given out this little sheet to make things a little easier for you. If you count the letters, and I've done it here, the count the letters of the Chasimus of the Shemonesh, that's the last couple of words after the Baruch Hashem, it's also exactly 248, which is the Ramach. I'm emphasizing the chasimah because the bracha itself changes according to the nusach, according to what individual input you put. But the chasimahs are brachas you're not allowed to change. It's the same. And it's remarkable. You can go into Taimon, you can go into India, you can go into China, you can go into anywhere in the world, and you will have the identical chasimahs with one exception. The exception is that we say, we say in the Baruch Olam Al Shinim, we finish. We have to finish off. Shovei Machnia Zedim, and they say Machnia Minim. The reason for that is purely to do with the censor and the pogroms the Yidden had. The Goyim would not allow us to say La Goyim or La Minim. If you look at the Nusach of the Sfardim, who weren't affected by this, they say La Minim veLam Al Shinim. And that is one of the reasons, this is another reason, but one of the reasons why we start off the Lamar Shinim. Because in fact every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei doesn't start with the vav, with the exception of V'li Yerushalayim Ircha, which is the reason for that too. But all the other brachas are not connected with the vav. And really, this was also not connected with the vav according to certain opinions. It was really laminim v'lam alshin, as the Sfardim say. But since we have to cut out the word laminim, because the notchim would just not allow us to do so, it got so bad in one place. If you, I know it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, but if you want to hear interesting how far these meshugim notchim went, the censors, there was one edition of Shas in Brochus which had the Brocha Brocha to Hashem Lekeinu Melech Olam Borei Akum Mezoinus. The censor was so backward that nowhere should it have min that it cut out the mine Mezoinus, and that's how far it went. And that's why the Brocha V'lemal Shinim was changed from minim to zedim. But Chazal, when they changed it, they were very careful. They made sure it had the same number of letters. Now, the number of letters is important because of the lemmas which we just mentioned. Now, if you were to take the Roshei Tevas of every Pasuk of Krishma with the Baruch Shem and the Aleph of MS, and made the calculation for me on the sheet in front of you, you'll see it comes exactly the number of letters that there are in the Chasimus, including the Baruch to Hashem, of Shemayin Esra. That's how meduyik it is. Something which you wouldn't realize, but in the olden days they didn't need these things for Emunah. Today, because our Emunah is Shvach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala new things whereby it's Mechazik our Emunah. We shouldn't really need it, but we say, whee, that's fantastic. We need that sort of chizuk now and then, and this helps us to understand how close the Chazal were and careful they were with every of the Nusrot. That's the letters. As far as the words are concerned, first of all, I noticed actually it's mentioned in the very first one of this thing here, the very first day, it's actually mentioned. It's a Balat Turim at the end of Pekudei. The number of words, I've worked that out on the left hand side at the edge. You'll see the 113 words in the Chasimus, which is exactly the same as the number of times that Lev occurs in the Torah. And as we're talking about that, if you want another good gematria from Rav David Leitner, if you take the full letters of Lev and Peh, that's Lev is spelled Lamed Mem Dalet and Peh Hey, Peh Yud and Hey, which is Hey Hey, Lev and Peh is the same gematria as Shofar, which is the idea the Shofar should be Me'oyer everybody for the Lev and the Peh. These are the two things that we need for Tefillah, is the Lev and the Peh. I'm saying that by way of background because it is just an interesting shows interestingly what the Shemoneh Esrei consists of. Now, when Chazal decided to be koveh the extra neschos for the Yomim Noram, you can imagine they did it with tremendous deal. If you look at the tour Siman Tov Kuf Beis, a number of things are said there. First of all, I mention what the tour actually points out. He says that in Zochreinu, first of all, there were people who misnagged it altogether to Zochreinu. The Bahag didn't say it. He said it's not allowed to ask for anything in the first three brachas, the last three brachas, so he just said it, you shouldn't be saying Zochreinu. The other Gerim disagree and say, yes, you should definitely say the Zochreinu. And they say, there is a Shitta which says if you don't say the Zochreinu, you get to the whole Shemoneh Esrei over again. We pass like the Tosfos, la halacha, la chachila, you must say the Zochreinu. However, if you miss it out, since it's not mentioned in the Gemara, it doesn't need to be said. But what is interesting is what this Zochreinu has within it. Zochreinu has in it 11 words. Says the Tur, the number 11 is a specific number dealing with Zechira. It brings various psukim which show that the 11 words is that inyan. I'd like to add that the 11 is also the number of the ingredients of the Ketores. And the Ketores had 10 good things and one bad thing. And the bad thing was mishapek to the good, and it contributed to the good. Like on Yom Kippur, when we start off, the very first thing we say on Yom Kippur is Adasa, Amokim Adasa, Kol, we say, Mutter Lispalinim Avarionim. It's not just simply a het. In fact, it's an Indian to have Avarionim who come, because they're like the Chelbono, which in fact adds body to our Teshuvah and to our Tefillah. All that is incorporated in the number 11, which is the Mispar HaTeshuvah. I once mentioned that there are two words for 11 in Tanakh. One is Achad Osor and one is Ashte Osor. And it's actually the best example of it is at the beginning of Parshas Devarim. If you have our Kohen, you'll know. It says, Vayiv Ashtei Osa Chodesh, and it says, Achad Osa Yom Mechoret. And two psukim next to each other. What's this Ashtei Osa and Achad Osa? The number of explanations for Ashtei Osa, but the one of Rabbi Nasadia Gaon is that Ashtei Osa means the number which is reaching 12. Ad Shtei Osa. In other words, 11 is not automatically bad. If you are the 11th child, there's nothing wrong with you. You just happen to be one of the series. If you're the 11th month of Shvat, you just happen to be number 11. There's nothing wrong with that. But if 11 is chosen for Diyuk, like for a football team or a cricket team, obviously that's why they chose the number 11 for that, something which is intrinsically got within it, something which needs a tikkun, like the one which is away from the 10, then it's no longer Ashtei Osa, it becomes Achad Osa. And wherever the word Achad Osa is mentioned, you'll find things have gone wrong. For example, Achad Osa Kochvayo, or in the Achad Osa Bonim of Yaakov, where they were fighting with each other, or Achad Osa Yom Mechoyrev, which was Ketinak Mebeis HaSefer. They should have only gone 3 days straight to Eretz Yisrael, they took 11 days over it. So we see this number is a number which has got in it the essence of something bad, but which can be put right. And that's why Zochreinu has got 11 words. Micha Moicha, says the Torah, has 8 words. Why has he got 8 words? Again, Psukim to show the godless of HaKadosh Baruch, the Gvurut Hashem. But again, you can add 8 as the well known as being Lamaulam in Ateva. That's what 8 signifies. And Micha Moicha, Be'ilim Hashem, you couldn't get a better number to encapsulate the godless of Hashem in the Bracha of Gvurut. That's in the Torah. The letters are also carefully counted. If you look at the Chaye Odom, he paskins la locha, you should say, Zachreinu lechay merech chofet bachayim, kosveinu b'sefer chayim, leman cholokim chayim, like the Sfardim do and the Chassidim do. So that's 48 letters, communion, the 48 letters which the Torah is nicknessed by him. So if you want to get to Shuvah, you want to get Chaim, there's only one way of getting Chaim, that's to start off with the Torah, and the Torah's nickname is the 48 Milas. That's why we start off with Zochreinu, just like before Hashiveinu and Shemnesu, you say Atochreinen and Amdas, and Hashiveinu in the Surah Sechon, then you can come to Shuvah. That's also why we say the David, one of the four reasons why we say the David early. It's talking about Torah, not about Shuvah, because Torah is the essence of what we have to do in order to reach the Ribono Shel Olam. We've got to have the Torah as the base. So therefore we've got 48 letters. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, but the Litvish don't do that. The Ashkenazim don't do that. We say V'chosveinu B'sefer HaChayim. Are you going to say that all the Litvaks are wrong? Well, I'm sort of kidding, probably would. But the Litvish have a different nusach. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, no, we haven't got it wrong. On the contrary, we've got a different Masorah, and that is we've got to have 50 letters. Why do we have to have 50 letters? Kamishim Share Bino. As you know, that before you can learn anything, you've got to have Seichel and Bino. It's a Derechet Kodmola Torah. Like Rabbi Leib's fifth Shulchan Aruch. It's not the fifth Shulchan Aruch, because it's the first Chalik. Then you've got four Chalakim after that, we used to say. So the first Chalik is Share Bino. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that before you can go to learn Torah, to daven Hospital Seichel, you have to have a bit of Seichel first. And the 50 is the remez for the Share Bino. So we can say V'chosvein V'sefer HaChayim and be quite satisfied with it. But what we're seeing here is that they're carefully counted the words and the letters. The number of letters in Micha Moicha, anybody know? 35 letters in Micha Moicha. Again, this is where the Ashkenazim get it right, because it's Micha Moicha Avorachamim. Those who say Micha Moicha Avorachamon, like the Mati Ephraim, I'm not sure why, maybe in Shabbos they haven't quite reached the Gvuras yet, but when they get to Musaf, they change it to Micha Moicha Avorachamim. I've never quite understood what the rationale is, but clearly Al Pi Kabbalah, and Mati Ephraim clearly says that Micha Moicha Avorachamon, but in Musaf, and I think it's Mincha and Shabbos or something, I can't remember the exact, have a look at the Mati Ephraim, it's Micha Moicha Avorachamim. But we Ashkenazim, it's always Micha Moicha Avorachamim. Now the Gematria is the same, so it's not a question of Gematria, it's a question of the number of letters. Avorachamim has one more letter than Avorachamon, and we say Micha Moicha Avorachamim, so that it should be 35 letters. What's the significance of 35? Again, it's Kabbalah, I have no idea what it's all about, but there is a Shem Gevurah, which is 35. There's the various Shemas, the Shem Mem Beis, Shem Ayin Beis, but the Shem Lamed He is the name of 35 letters, is the Shem Agvurus. And the remez to that is in when you start off Ato Gibur Leolam Hashem, the Hashem of Ato Gibur is the second, the Hashem there is written Aleph Dalet. If you take the Rosh Tevis of Ato Gibur Leolam Hashem, that's also 35. Which is a remez that this bracha is the Shem HaGvur. So we sing in the Micha Morcho and in the Zochreinu, the number of words and the number of letters are carefully counted. It's not just Stam. The Torah talks about the number of words, and the Chai Odom and the Orach HaShulchan are talking about the number of letters. It's got to be mamish, something terrific. Now, so that's so far for the Achrishayim, the Achreinu. We today also are able to find certain things, and one thing which are often mentioned, if you've heard already, please forgive me, the Chazora, I'll tell you again. In the first two brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, there are letters missing. When I say letters missing, I mean to say that there are 22 osios in the alphabet, and there are 21 letters in the first bracha and 21 letters in the second bracha, and one letter is missing in each of those two brachas. In the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the letter Pei is not there. Check it, you'll see there's no Os Pei. In the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, there's another letter missing. The letter missing is the Os Zayin. In Nusach Ashkenaz, there could be a test as well, but Nusach Sfar test, Talmud, I told, so there's a test there. So I'm taking my cue this time from the Nusach Sfar, that we've got no Pei in the first bracha and no Zayin in the second bracha. And that is known, but what puzzled me terrifically is, why on earth on the associated teshuva, all of a sudden when they bring in an extra posik, do they put these letters back? They weren't there originally. Why should they be there now? Look, we've got Zochrin Rechaimelech Chafet Bachayim, Chafet Nebesfet Fer Hachayim. You've got two K's that come in. It would have been very simple to change the word to something else. Why does that say Besfet Hachayim? Use it some other language. Why did they have to put two K's in there? And similarly, in the second bracha, Micha Mocha Avarachim, Zoichei Yitzurov. It could have said Pokei Yitzurov. It could have said Kosev Yitzurov. Why Zoichei Yitzurov? It seems it wanted to get the Zion in, which wasn't there before. What's going on here? Is it just an accident? Is it a mikra? Then, taking this a bit further, before we start Shemoneh Esrei, we say a pasuk. The Sfarim say it aloud, we ask God to say it quietly, but you're not allowed to say Shemoneh Esrei without this pasuk, Hashem. Three pays. Now, on the balance of probabilities, how likely is it you're going to get three pays in one posuk and then no pay for a whole bracha? What's going on here? This Hashem Sfosai Tiftach, there's two reasons why we say it. One, Beisos, this is to do with the place in Tilim and the Mokum and Korbonus, etc. That's one pshat. The Avud Raham says that it's in order to give us Rishus to start. Because without the reshus of asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? I can go to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Melech Malchei Melachim, and stand before him and start telling him I want this and I want that and I want the other. You're standing before a king who's got the power of life and death. You would sit up. Do you ever remember being called before the headmaster for doing something wrong in school, and he asks you, what did you do that for? It's impossible to get the words out. How can you possibly stand before the Melech, Malchei Melachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and start plappering away about all this, that, and the other, with your mind not concentrating on anything? The answer is because there's a mitzvah in the Torah of tefillah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed. Says the Avod Raham, if you've got to say Hashem Sfosei Tiftach. There's a very interesting shaila in the Bir Halacha. If you miss out Hashem Sfosei Tiftach, are you yotzei? Because you have to start again. Is it b'di'evid? What would happen if you didn't say Hashem Sfosei Tiftach? Very fascinating shaila what the din would be, but you see how important it is, and therefore the answer is this: the letter pei represents the pair. That's obvious. The pei is the pair. You might remember when we talked about echo, where they put the ayin before the pei. It's the ayin. It was the eye, and they put before the mouth. The same thing is the pei represents the pair. So before you can start, we need to say the pair three times. Pei inside is a remez in that posuk. But in the bracha itself, we don't mention the letter pei, as if it's a remez. The bracha really ain't lanu pei. We say in the davening, ain't lanu pei. You haven't got a pei. You've given us the pei, and that's why we can do it. The shaila is therefore, what about during the Esrei Shemoneh Esrei? Why is it different? And the answer is this: As we said at the beginning, the Ge'oin, some Ge'oin, the Bahag says you're not allowed to ask for your own Tzrachim in the first graph, and you shouldn't be saying it's Zachinu at all. The other says, okay, the two asks the Kasha, well, what do we, why do we do it? He answers that the reason why we're permitted to do it is because it's Tzorchei Rabin. You're not asking for yourself. As you're not asking for yourself, you're asking for the tzibur, then it's not for you, you can say it. That's permissible. Everybody's able to ask for the tzibur for other people. You don't ask for yourself, it's not held against you. Therefore, if that's the case, there can be a pay in it. And second answer, there's three answers to the question. The second answer to that question is that Shas Cheirum shining, it's an emergency situation. You know, if there's a gun to your head, you're just about to be shot, it doesn't matter who it is, you'll shout out, please help me, don't do it. So during our service to Meitshuva, which is an emergency situation, we've suddenly got our pair back, we can speak to Rebbe Shalom, please give us Chaim. And the third answer is a beautiful answer of both the Chofetz Chaim and in the Kerem HaTzvi. He says we're not asking for ourselves, we say Leman Chalekim Chaim. We're asking for Chaim, not to play football, not to enjoy ourselves, not to have a good time. We're asking for Chaim in order to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, like an army. We're asking for new weaponry and new computer technology, so that the Prime Minister says, "What do you want? More money for yourself? You need better unions?" No, we're not needing it for ourselves. We can't protect the realm without it. Lamar Chalekim Chaim. It's for you. We can't do it if we haven't got all the kalim with which to do it. We need the Chaim, which is for your sake. If it's for your sake, we can have the pay. You're able to answer. That's how the pay came in. Why there are two pays? I believe one is for Zochreinu and one is for Chosveinu. I haven't got time to go into Zechir and Ksiva, but there's two different inyanim. One is Zechir and one is Ksiva, and there's one pay for each. The second bracha, which said the Zion went missing. Why is the Zion missing? What is a Zion? The Zion is a clay Zion, listed mezuyonim. The letter Zion represents weaponry, right? That's why the Barbina Bashi says that in the bracha which Yaakov gave to Yehuda, you've got all the letters of the Aleph base except the letter Zion. Why? Because Yehuda doesn't need to serve Hashem with weapons. Yehuda's way is with a coil, with the voice. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, when we're talking about the Gadlus, the Gevuras Hashem, we're talking about an almighty being, but it's not because he's the most powerful, he's got the best weaponry, and that's why he's more powerful than America or Russia, because he's got more arms and more weapons. We're very careful to miss out the Zion in the second bracha to show that the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam is spiritual. It's got nothing to do with physical weaponry. The only thing is this: during Aseret Meteshuvah, the Melech Melchei Amlochim has come to town. Dishu Hashem bi Motzer Kra'u bi Yosef Korov Eilu Aseret Hayomim of the Aseret Meteshuvah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel has left the other parts of the galaxies and the constellations and wherever else he might be, and for this 10 days he's come to this Beis HaMedrash. He's come to town. If the Ribbono Shel Olam is actually present, then how does he come in? He says the Malchusa Rakia Ke'en Malchusa de Ara. He will come dressed like a proper melech. Well, if he's a proper melech, he'll have his sword, he'll have all his weaponry, because you'll see him in that way. Therefore, we have to put in the Zion in Zohar. That's one answer. A second answer, which was given, it was by one of my talmidim actually, which were in a shiur, when I mentioned this, he said, well, the reason is because I'll embellish it slightly. The three first brachas, the first one represents Malchus with Avraham Avinu, the opposite is Malchus, it's well known. The second bracha represents Zichroinos, and the third bracha represents Shofar. So you can see from the way the three brachas go, it fits in that structure. It's the same v'chein ten pachtach, or it's Malchus, v'chein ten kovod, is Zichronos, and v'chein tzadikim is Shofar. So it fits in that way. So now, since the second bracha of Shemoneh is the bracha which represents Zichronos, it's necessary to put the Zoicher in. It wouldn't have been good enough just to say Kosev or Poked. You want the Zoicher in with the Zion to teach us that at this moment this is the inyan of Zichronos. Right. So far we've done with words and we've done letters. The next thing is the Gematrius too. We know in Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm not sure what Nusach this shul is, it's probably, you say, I'm very familiar with Shalom, at the whole of the Sesame Teshuvah, but where I come from, we say Oseh HaShalom. And it's well known why we say Oseh HaShalom, and even those who don't say Oseh HaShalom say it in Kaddish, some say it in Benching, some say it and when they go back from Shemoneh Esra. Do you know why you change from Oseh HaShalom? Well, the simple explanation given is Hashalom means it's the ultimate peace. This is the time of peace. Just by the way, since we're talking about that, I'm going to leave you with a question, a very interesting question. Why is it that sometimes we say with the bracha with a hey at the end of it, like Horotze B'Tshuva, and sometimes we say without the hey, like Choinin Ador? What's the rule? You daven every day. We daven this. We don't concentrate on our davening enough. We're not worried about things like this. Oh, we daven because that's how we were taught to daven. Is it Hagoymel or is it Goymel? When is it a hay and when is it not a hay? If there seems to be complete contradiction. Hameichim Mitzadeh Grover. Ozeh Yisrael Begvur. When do you say that and when don't you say that? There's rules for it. It's quite fascinating. But as I said, I need another hour for that. But now, the hay here, how do I get back to where I came in? Ozeh Hasholem. So some said the Hasholem is specifically for the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah because that's the ultimate piece. But the real reason given is because of a Gematria. Gematria alone wouldn't have allowed us to change the number of the brothers, that would mess things up. But because there is an old Nusach, which goes Adon HaShalom, Osa HaShalom, as we can see from the main Sheva on Friday night, which is a kitzur of the chasimus of the different brothers, you see that there was a Nusach Adon HaShalom, Osa HaShalom. So since there was such a Nusach, we in Ashkenaz changed the Nusach HaBrocha to Osa HaShalom. Osa is 381. Hashalom is 381, and that's what they say. What's it got to do with the price of cheese, 381? The answer is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we said before, was a Melech Memuna al Ha on all of the Tzibur. And a Melech doesn't write himself, he has a secretary. So you can imagine when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is writing down on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, maybe he doesn't write on Yom Tov Shabbos. He has a malach to do it for him. That malach's name, we don't normally mention the malach, but it's necessary in order to know what I'm talking about. The malach is called by his profession. You have kail at the end, sefer at the beginning, because that's what he's writing, and you change it to safri kail, safriel. So his name is safri, and that is 381. In order to be meramez at sof shmon esra, that we want the malach safriel to write us down for l'chaim, so we put in a gematria. So far so good. That's mentioned, I've seen that in a survey. One thing I hadn't seen, I said this about 35 years ago, I think it was that long ago, I can't remember now, 30 years ago anyhow. How old am I now? On one Friday night at a shir, and I mentioned by name, there was an accountant there called Bernie Faber, Zolek Gesundzein, a very bright mind. And as I was saying this, he was obviously computing in his mind. He said, you know what, I've just computed that Zochreinu L'chaim is also 381. I remember almost falling off my seat. I didn't believe it. We stopped the shir, we counted letter by letter half a dozen times, it's Taka 381. Now the chances of gematria at the very beginning of what you bring in on Aseret Yemei Teshuvah and at the very very end should both be exactly the same number is one in billions. It must be. I get an accountant to work out the actual probability graph of that happening, and that it should happen right. There's so many words in Shemoneh Esrei that these two and that one should end up at 381 is absolutely mind-boggling. Now, I don't know whether the Anshakistis Gedola meant it when they did it. Probably they did. But even if they didn't, it's not the point. The point is it was written with such Ruach HaKodesh that HaKodesh Baruch was imbued it and endowed it with such Dvarim Nistorim which suddenly come to life. That number 381, you're going to what? So what? So what's it all about, 381? It's very simple. I haven't found the number 381 yet in Tanakh. I'm not very good at actually computing the commands. I like repeating them, but I haven't actually found it. But I was taught in school arithmetic. And I was also taught that whatever you learn, whether it's Latin or Greek, it's all got a purpose for Yiddishkeit. So I thought, I remember being driven mad by the teacher to factorize. Today my factorization is going to actually come to life. Because I worked out that 381 is 3 times 127. Ah, bingo. 3, we all know, is chizuk. 3 brokers, 3 others. The world was, the Torah was given in the third month by the third child from the third shave. The Gemara says all the meaning of 3, it's chizuk. So this, what I'm going to tell you, is mechuzuk, it's 3. But what about 127? This brings you to the famous medrash, everyone knows it, in Parshas Chayesora. What happened was there was a tzibur who was falling asleep, and Rabbi Akiva banged on the table and said, "Hey, Hesachan, why are you falling asleep? Don't you know there's this medrash The Medrash says in the Zechus that Sarah Imenu lived 127 years, Esther Hamalka got 127 provinces. We mentioned this 127 of Esther, the 1, 2, and the 7 with the Korbonus. It's also extremely irrelevant, but again, we've got to finish off now. So the 127 is to do with the Zechus of the time that Sarah lived, that Esther got the 127 provinces. The Chidushi Harim asks, well, why did that help to get Rabbi Akiva's pupils to life? Why did he choose that medrash? He answered, he says, the pshat, he gives two pshat, but the pshat relevant to us is this. Sara Imenu never wasted a second. I think I mentioned this at the time some time ago, the Chai Sora, where we were talking about never wasting time. I think I made you all members of the RSPCT at the time, Royal Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Time. And then we did discuss it, and we have discussed it already. I'm sorry if I'm repeating it, but it's now relevant to this particular point. So in that zechus of the 127 years of Sora never wasting her time, Esther and Malka got the 127 promises. Now that is in the beginning and at the end of the Tefillah of Yom Neroyim. So I'll finish with saying Zochreinu Lechayim. Have a look at the two. You'll see that the number Chayim is also full of gematria, the idea of 68. The 68 words, says the two, in the Korbonus of the Maftir, which we say in Rosh Hashanah, count them up, 68 words exactly. The 68 Aleph, says the two, in the first Seres Adibros, all the teaching us that Chaim goes together with Torah, and we should have Zochreinu L'Chaim and Namancho Alekim Chaim. Now, having finished, I've been told I've got to spend 5 minutes on the daily improvement of Tefillah. I hope that the last half an hour will also have created some sort of improvement in Tefillah from the point of view of realizing the Kedusha which there is in Tefillah. As I mentioned before, we've been through quietening your mind, we've been through taking time to prepare and understanding, and the next one was to feel the need. Today it's understanding the meaning. Now here the understanding the meaning means if you know what you're saying, it has a completely different appeal. Those of us who say complicated slippers without knowing what it's about find it a bit boring. Oh, I've got to get to all this page, and I don't know a word of what it's talking about, I don't know what it's about. It makes such a huge difference if you know what you're asking. Shmones is much, much more easy to deal with because you have the words which are translated before you. They give the, here in the daily piece, it talks about the understanding what it means as being the taste. If you have to take a pill and it tastes awful or had no taste at all, you tend to forget. You don't take it every day. But if you've got a pill which is sweet and juicy and you like it, you find excuses to try to take that pill. You know, am I sure I didn't take the pill? Maybe I should take it again, so to speak. You have an attraction to want to do it. That's human nature. So it's saying if you know what the tefillah is all about, that's going to attract you much more to saying it. Now today you've got no excuse. In the olden days you could turn around and say, look, I don't know what it's about, I give up. Now you've got so many modern aids to tefillah, quite apart from the books like The World of Prayer and that type of thing, you've got an art scroll which takes you exactly where the posuk is. It teaches you exactly what the kavanah of it is. There are all sorts of inyan. You've got tapes and you've got every possible aid to make sure that the meaning can be brought forward. And then he says, also, if you understand the basis of where the tefillah, if you realize how important the tefillah is, for example, he gives an example of Aleinu L'Shaber. Aleinu, at the end of the tefillah, everyone knows the famous joke, it's not worth repeating now, about how Aleinu got into the middle of Shemoneh Esrei on Yom Neroyim. It's a joke, but it's a joke with a point. Aleinu felt left out, everybody's walking out before Aleinu takes place. Do you know, L'Chachilo, you're not supposed to take your tefillin off until L'Kaddish after Aleinu. L'Chachilo. It means an extra couple of minutes in the shul, but people immediately after volunteer, ikar adin, and if you're privately you're perhaps allowed to do it. In the tzibur you're supposed to wait. Why? Did you know, says he, says here, that Aleinu originally was composed by Yoshua? Yeshua himself composed Olenu. Ooh, that makes a huge difference. That means this is a tefillah by Yeshua ben Nun. It's well known also, it isn't mentioned here, but it's true. The second Baalke de Kaveh is Rashi Tevis Ochon. Ochon was the man who took from the spoils. And as a result of that, we have this particular tefillah. Now, how did he get into the davening? He says here that what happened was that at the end of the Churban, Rabbi Yochim and I think Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai mentioned, was so upset that Klal Yisrael was in such a feeling of depression that he instituted that this Olenu prayer should be said every day after davening. The others in Hogim the Olenu, some said after every minyan like we do, but there are places where if you do Mincha Maariv together, like the Yankers don't say Olenu because it's only at the end of the Tefillah. Oh, that's Minhagim. On Yom Kippur we don't say Olenu because we go from Musaf to Mincha. So, but the point is that if you understand the Makor of where the Tefillahs come from, he mentioned also here, did you know the Baruch Sha'amar came down, dropped from heaven? There was a petek which came down from heaven, and that's how we got Baruch Sha'amar. If you realize the Kedusha of what we're saying, just like everybody knows what Shema is, everybody knows Shema is in the Torah, everybody knows what happened at the Holocaust, that people were going to the gas chambers, they were saying Shema, and that Noah Rabbi Akiva said Shema when they were turning about. Everybody understands that. Everybody knows and says that with tremendous kavana. But the rest of the tefillah sometimes we are not terribly careful about. He says here that you've got to understand the meaning. Take there's nothing derogatory or demeaning by taking an art scroll siddur or a singer's prayer book. You know, it would be better to take a singer's prayer book with English than to take a frummy siddur which has got no English if you don't understand it. Why? Because it's so much better to understand what you're saying, and certainly for the piyutim and the slichus. If you've got the modern slichus, the people turn around and say, "Oh, the person who made the slichus, was Nishkin Undra. He was from Kinloss. He wasn't a what the schus that man has got. Zolabaystein the schus." That he's managed to make the first one to make the slippers friendly and usable to everybody. Don't worry, as long as the man is not an apikoros, that's a different story. As long as the man was a Yorish Shemayim, so he wasn't an agudist, so he wasn't a chosid. But look what he's done with that siddur. And then based on that, we've got art scroll. It's so much more interesting if you know what the slippers. When I was a young boy, I didn't understand pshat. But I used to play a game with myself of trying to find out as many references to which part of Tanakh this particular Mremes comes from, or which part of Shas. And I used to pat myself on the back if I could locate in my mind exactly where the Titan had taken that particular slicha from. Okay, that was a kindische spiel. Now it's easy, it's all written on the side, exactly where the postik has come from. Let me finish off. It says, of the many means to find inspiration in one's prayers, understanding their meaning is among the most easily accomplished in our times. The bookstores and the shuls are filled with beautifully translated and annotated prayer books that offer everything from simple translation to mystical insight. We talked about simple translation, we talked a little bit about mystical insights of gematrias and of letters and letters missing. There's so much in the tefillah. Taking one word at a time, one verse at a time, anyone can learn to speak the language of prayer.